I'm running for governor because I absolutely love this great state. I love the opportunity it's given to me and so many people I know.
Who'd you bet on here?
Who'd you bet?
I couldn't bet the Yankees or the Mets. I had to bet Boston.
Hello again, it's Ian Pickus, WAMC's news director. On this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we'll meet the first declared candidate for governor of Vermont in the 2020 election. And you can finally fire your bookie if you want to bet on sports in the Capital Region. But first, Vermont Congressman-at-Large Peter Welch is the latest Democrat to call for the impeachment of President Trump. Welch says he didn't arrive at this conclusion lightly, but believes Trump has established a clear pattern of willful disregard for our Constitution and its system of checks and balances. Welch says the first-term Republican has violated his oath of office. Rebecca Holcomb, the former secretary of the Vermont Agency of Education, now running for governor as a Democrat, is discussing her entry into the race. Holcomb announced her bid Tuesday. The 52-year-old Norwich resident served as Ed Secretary for 4 years under former Democratic Governor Peter Shumlin. She continued in the position in the Scott administration until resigning last year. She's the first candidate to declare her candidacy in the 2020 race, counting Republican Governor Phil Scott. And she spoke with our Pat Bradley.
The basic and the obvious question is, why did you decide to run for governor?
Well, thank you for asking, Pat, and I'm really glad to be able to speak with you. I'm running for governor because I absolutely love this great state. I love the opportunity it's given to me and so many people I know, and I want to make sure that I can do my best to take the state in a new direction and make sure I put my experience as a teacher, a principal, a secretary of education in the state to work to make sure that every Vermonter, no matter where they live, has the same kinds of opportunities I've had, whether they live in our rural communities, our more urban communities, whether they're living in the South or the North. Everybody in the state should have a great opportunity to succeed, do well, and feel like they're part of and contributing to our prosperity and our future. And I'm running because I'm concerned that the current governor's approach is helping people who are already doing well and are privileged, and it's great that people are doing well, but I'm personally going to focus my campaign on the vast majority of Vermonters who are working really hard every day but feel like they're running in place because their wages are stagnant and their costs are going up. And I know that if we can figure out ways to get better value out of every tax dollar to make the difference for those folks so that they can, you know, rise up to the challenge and seize the opportunities we have, we'll all be better off. And I think Vermonters are ready for that change.
Rebecca Holcomb, you mentioned when you first started talking about why you're running that you want to move the state in a new direction. What exactly do you mean by that?
We several things. You know, we got to stop looking over our shoulder in the rearview mirror at what isn't working, and we have to start looking forward at how we can make this state work for all Vermonters. When I go around the state, and the privilege of my previous job was that I got to travel, you know, from corner to corner and meet people, meet school board members, meet community members, and hear about what their hopes were. And what I see is people who want to work hard but just can't get access to the kinds of opportunities they need. We need help making ourselves the leader we need to be in building small businesses. And we need to get a handle on our healthcare costs so that those small businesses can grow and expand. We need to make sure that Vermonters across the state have the support they need to get into the high-wage, high-demand, particularly green jobs that we know are waiting to be filled. And that's what I'm going to try to do.
So how would you do that? Do you have policies in place right now that you plan to, you know, promote during your campaign?
Well, I've had the opportunity and I've been meeting with people across the state in different sectors, and this is a long campaign and I'm only on day three, I think, at this point, and I'll look forward to talking in greater depth about those. But again, my focus is going to be on creating opportunity. And when I travel around, I see some folks are living in places that really we're not always thinking about at the state level. And I want to make sure we bring economic opportunity there because they need to be able to earn a good wage and raise their kids and do well.
Rebecca Holcomb, I know that in your announcement and you've mentioned in the past, too, that you've criticized current Governor Phil Scott's equity and affordability agendas just talk. I think a lot of people will look at politicians, and with you announcing you are now a politician, as a lot of the things that they put forward are just talk. So how will you get past the just talk to make people believe that you are actually going to accomplish these things?
I invite people to look at what we actually do. And you know, I think all of us in Vermont right now, if we believe in this state, we need to be focused on making smart decisions that make good use of our resources where they're going to make the greatest difference. There was a report that just came out about water quality, for example, that says that there's no measurable improvement for 95% of our investment in clean water. You know, there's a new bill that just passed in the legislature. I'm looking forward to a change in the future. But in every arena, we need to be asking, when we put our dollars in, are we getting value out for the Vermont taxpayer and for the people in our state who need that support the most? So that's where we'll go. And, you know, I think certainly we have a similar situation in childcare when we have parents who are now forced to choose between paying for childcare and going to work because the cost of childcare and the lack of childcare is so significant. We've spent over $40 million on pre-kindergarten, and at the same time, we've lost about a quarter of the capacity of our childcare system. We have to make it a priority to make sure that families who want to go to work and contribute to our economy have an opportunity to do so and not worry about the care of their kids.
Rebecca Holcomb, the state is facing numerous issues. You've mentioned a few of them right now, just clean water, child care. There's also the affordability, health care, environment, farm losses, and agricultural issues, the budget. Have you prioritized issues at this point as you move into your campaign?
I'll be talking about that in the months to come. And what I'm really trying to focus on now is reaching out around the state, building that grassroots coalition of Vermonters who will work with me, who will inform me in terms of what they're struggling with in their communities, and those who will give me advice on how they think we need to approach those problems. And I look forward to coming back and speaking in greater depth. What I can say is that, you know, what Vermont is facing in terms of the declining population and some of its fiscal challenges, it isn't unique to Vermont, and certainly we're part of a larger trend of depopulation in rural areas. What I can also say is that we have opportunities here, and I look forward to bringing my skills to bear and working with Vermonters around the state to take advantage of some of the opportunities that we have as we go forward. I can speak more about that, or I know you have other questions, but, you know, fire away.
There are some other potential Democrats that may enter the race. What's your thoughts on a potential primary?
Well, I know there are other people who are considering a run. I haven't really spent a lot of time thinking about that. I think I'm focused because I feel an urgency that we need a change, and so I made the decision to go in and begin that work and to get started on building a coalition of Vermonters who will help me plan and share a strong, prosperous future for the state.
Rebecca Holcomb, you've actually never held elective office, so why run for governor as your first campaign? And secondarily, why do you believe that you have the skill sets for the position?
You know, Vermont is a small state, and I've had a chance to travel and meet with people in every single corner of the state. And that's taught me a lot about the state and the needs and what people feel is really important. And I know they're worried about cost. I know they're worried about affordability. And I also know they care about quality of life. It's why people live here, and it's why we choose to stay. But at the same time, you know, I did work at the state level, and I've worked in public education my entire life. And there's two things that being in public education tells you or teaches you. And the first is that you can't afford to leave talent on the floor. And that's one thing I'm going to bring to the state. I know that when we take care of our people and we invest in their capability so that they can go out and actually take one of those high-demand, high-wage jobs, we're all better off. So I will make sure I put our resources behind our people to make sure that they can be part of the bright, sustainable, green, and vibrant economic future that we all deserve in this state. And then the second thing about public education is it forces you to learn how to work with other people to get to solutions that work for everybody. Public schools serve people from all walks of life, from all political parties, and what you do is you come together to figure out what your shared priorities are, to focus and to bear down on them and solve them. And so I'll bring that, and that's certainly what I brought to my work in the legislature, and I'm really proud of the strong bipartisan work I was able to do legislative sessions to get good things done for Vermonters.
You served initially in the Shumlin administration as Secretary of Education and stayed on for Governor Scott, but then quit because you basically disagreed with his policies. Are you worried at all that some people will look at you running for governor and say, oh, she's just doing this because she's still upset with Governor Scott? Does that, you know, have you thought about people maybe reacting that way at all?
No, I haven't, in part because when I go out and speak to Vermonters, what I hear again and again is that they feel like they need change. They're worried about the future of the state, but they also feel like there's a lot of talent. They feel like there's a lot of potential and a lot of energy in the state. And if we can sit down, work together, and put up some strong solutions, that we'll be able to get it done. We have enormous opportunities in front of us to take dollars that we currently send out of state. We spend $2 billion a year out of state on fossil fuels. We are ways to bring some of that money back into Vermont, invest it in green jobs, in green construction in Vermont, in ways that make Vermont more affordable, give people better jobs that will help them feed their families and buy the things they need to do from Vermont businesses, and deal with some of our strong concerns about protecting a bright and green future for our kids.
And you did mention that you started the campaign early. Why so early?
I'm looking forward. I mean, you know, when you start a campaign, it's really just an opportunity to get out early and get out and meet people across the state. I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to visit our communities, hear from people about what their concerns are, and figure out how to put them together in ways that leave us better off once I'm in office. And that's what I'll be doing.
Well, Rivers Casino and Resort in Schenectady has begun taking New York's first legal sports wagers. WAMC's Jesse King reports.
3, 2, 1.
With the approval of the New York Gaming Commission, the Rivers Sportsbook opened Tuesday with 6 betting windows, 14 kiosks, and plenty of applause. State Assemblyman Gary Pretlow and Schenectady Mayor Gary McCarthy, both Democrats, were among the first to place their bets.
Who'd you bet again? Who'd you bet?
Oh, yes.
I bet in Seattle.
Who'd you bet?
Yankees?
Who'd you bet?
I couldn't bet the Yankees or the Mets. I had to bet Boston.
The new lounge occupies about 5,000 square feet, bordered by a massive video wall and 22 TV screens off the casino's main gaming floor. Rivers spokesperson Rob Christopher is particularly excited to see the space open before the start of the NFL season in September, but says there are plenty of betting options in the meantime.
You can bet on anything, but the big ones right now are going to be there's a big boxing match this weekend, and then you also have the British Open starting, and also, of course, baseball.
Well, almost anything. New York is one of 10 states to allow sports betting following a key Supreme Court ruling in 2018, but you can't bet on the state's college teams, and you have to bet in person for now. That said, Democratic State Senator Joseph Addabbo, who chairs the Senate Committee on Racing, Gaming, and Wagering, says sports betting has changed the gaming industry from, quote, a disabled car on the shoulder of a roadway, end quote, and put it in the right lane. He looks to mobile sports betting to push it forward.
You can't sit on the sidelines forever. You know, we have already gaming in our state. Other states around us are really cannibalizing us as a state. Our state money goes to Jersey, 25% of which. So now I think the governor, who works very methodically, understands that, hey, maybe we need to do this in a very methodical, very credible way. We get to give that back to our students in terms of educational funding and jobs.
Assemblyman Pretlow says he'd like to see mobile betting in New York by the middle of next year. In speaking to WAMC, however, Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo questioned its economic credibility.
You look at the numbers and the data on gaming. Obviously, more people lose in gambling than win. And if there's not a significant economic benefit to the state or a region of the state, then I would rather not do it. And that's what the research has to show.
New York recently commissioned a study to look at the state's gambling industry. Regardless, it was all smiles at Rivers Casino and Resort on Tuesday. Opening day saw appearances by former New York Giant Sean Landetta, former New York Jet Eric Coleman, and Yankee great Bucky Dent. Capital Region Democratic State Assemblyman Angelo Santa Barbara says the lounge is a major tourism win for Schenectady and brings sports betting out of the shadows.
And let's not forget, this was a $150 billion industry that operated underground.
now has become open and transparent, has consumer protections built in, and people are doing it in a responsible way.
The Rivers Sportsbook will be open until midnight on weeknights and 1 a.m. on weekends. Reporting from Schenectady for WAMC, I'm Jesse King.
And that'll do it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks as always for listening, and remember to stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.